Well, pray with me as we prepare our hearts for the word this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask for your help this morning. I ask you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that what I speak would be what you would have me to. And Lord, it'll not just be the words of man, Lord, and it'll not fall to the ground, but Father, that it will accomplish what you sent it to do. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would help us to hear with a hearing ear and an obedient heart in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a series titled His Church. And this morning, we're going to talk about the church, His body. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about how the church is unstoppable. The church cannot be stopped by even the very gates of hell, much less anything on this earth. It's unstoppable. Jesus said that He was going to build His church, and He is. We are a church on a mission. We've got a job to do. And the church is being built with love as each part does its work. We talked last week about how important it is that we love one another. How that in everything we do, whatever we do for God, it's done with love. Now that seems to be a missing ingredient in a lot of churches and a lot of people and in a lot of even Christian work sometimes. It seems like they leave the love out. But it's really only effective and fruitful for eternity when it's done in love. So the church is built with love. This morning, this is an amazing truth that the church is His body. A scripture tells us that very plainly in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22 and 23, it says, God has placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. You know, Jesus is alive and well. But He's not just alive and well at the right hand of the Father. He's also alive and well here on this earth. The fullness of Him that fills all in all, it's the church, His body. We need to realize that. That is a spiritual truth, that the church is the body of Jesus. But we need to be careful if we say negative things about the church, because the church is the body of Christ. You know, sometimes there are things in Scripture that just are kind of a figurative meaning. We need to understand that in a very real way, the church is His body in the earth. The church is how Jesus is working in this earth. He's moving and working through His people. They say there's a little courtyard in France that back during the Second World War, there was a statue of Jesus there and a bomb that blew up near it, had destroyed it and broken it into many, many pieces. And after the war was over, the people all came together in that town and they got all the pieces and they put it all back together. And it had many scars where they had, you know, repaired it and put it back together. And the scars just seemed to add to the character of it. But there was one thing missing. They could not find the hands of the statue. And so, as one person said, well, this is no good. You can't have a Lord with no hands. And so they thought about getting a new statue, but then someone else had another idea, and they decided to go with that idea. They brought a brass plaque, and they placed it at the base of the statue, and it simply said, I have no hands but your hands. Sometime later, someone added to that, I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead men on the way. I have no tongue but your tongue to tell men how I died. I have no help but your help to bring men to God's side. And you know what? That really is the truth. Jesus has chosen to work this way, that He works through His people. It is our hands that reach out to people. It's our voice that tells people about the message of reconciliation, how much He loves them and wants to restore fellowship with them. We are the vessels that He's chosen for His power to flow through, to reach out to a lost and dying world. In John 15 and 16, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. See, there's a reason that God has chosen us. There's a reason that He has made us to be His body. It is to go and to bear fruit. It is to go and to do His work. And church, I want to encourage you this morning that we really are the body of Christ. We got a job to do. Now, when the Bible speaks to us many times and it says the word you, you know, in the English language, we use the same word whether you're talking about singular you or singular or plural you. Well, here in Texas, we say y'all, right? I mean, if I'm just talking to one of you, I say you, but if I'm talking to all of you, I say y'all. But in the scripture, you just see the same English word you translated, but in the Greek language, it's either the singular or the plural. And when the scripture says, you are the body of Christ, it's talking about all of us. And then it says, each one of you is a member, a part of that body. It's talking about you personally. So you individually, you're not the body by yourself. No, it's talking about all of us together collectively. We are the body of Christ. But each one of you individually is an important part of that body. Every single one of us is needed in the body of Christ. You know, if you're teaching a preschool class, you might not feel like you're real important or like you're reaching the world, but you just don't know what an impact you might be having. You might be teaching some little stinker that's going to be bring three or four friends to church, and one of those three or four friends may be the next great evangelist if the Lord tarries. You don't know what impact you might be having on eternity. You may wonder if being a greeter is really important. But it might be because of your smile and your friendliness that somebody decides to come back to church. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin with verse 14 there, and we'll be there for a little while. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Each one of us has a part. Each one of us has a place, a function to fulfill in the body of Christ. And it's important that we find out what God wants us to do. Beginning with verse 14, he says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body." See, you might feel out of place sometimes. You might feel like, well, gee, I'm not like everybody else. I don't really fit. But you know what? You can say, well, I must not be part of the body, but you still are. What happens, though, is that when people say, well, I don't really fit, I'm not like them, then they separate themselves from the body and the body is weakened. You're still part of the body, but the body is having to do without that strength that could have been added. Let's go on, verse 17 there, it says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" You know, sometimes in our society today, people think that diversity is a weakness. People think that, you know, we're stronger if we're all just alike. And there's this attitude that we want to be around people that dress like us, talk like us, think like us, act like us. But in the body of Christ, we find it's just the opposite. It is the diversity that gives us strength. It's the diversity that makes us effective. And in fact, he tells us very plainly here in verse 17 that if everybody was an eye, where would the sense of smell be? Listen, I've met some people and they have a strong gift for evangelism. Now, all of us should witness for the Lord. But I've met some people with a strong gift for evangelism. They just thought that anybody that wasn't an evangelist like they were wasn't right with God. We don't need everybody to be an evangelist. I'll tell you something else. We don't need everybody to be a preacher. We don't need everybody to be a worship leader. No, there are so many different ministries and needs in the body of Christ, and God has somebody for every single one of them. We don't all need to be just alike. We need to thank God for the diversity. I can tell you right now that there are people that I personally am ineffective at reaching. But some of you are going to be effective at reaching that person. We need that diversity in the body of Christ. The different strengths, they are not a weakness, they are a strength. We need those different parts of the body. Each one of us is unique, and it's necessary. You see, the fact that you're unique is why you are so necessary. You don't need to be just like somebody else. God made you, and He placed you in the body. See, the body's kind of like a giant puzzle. You ever worked one of those giant puzzles, 1,000, 2,000 pieces? Every single one of those pieces is unique in some way. Now, you may have gotten frustrated at times and you wanted a piece to fit somewhere because it looked like it was just almost right, and you put it on there and you try to make it go in. But every piece somehow is a little bit different from the other 1,000 or 2,000 pieces. And so it is in the body of Christ. Each one of us has our place where we fit. Each one of us is necessary to get the end result. Each one of us is important because there's a place that only we can fill. You know, it's a terrible thing when you've been working on a puzzle for a long, long time and you figure out that you got pieces missing. That's a bummer. But you know, we need to realize that our Heavenly Father, He sees the big picture. He knows what He's trying to accomplish. He's looking at the box. He's looking at the big picture on the box. He knows what He's doing. He knows what the end product is going to look like. It's a church, a glorious church, a victorious church. And He's placing us in the body to bring about that end result. And I just want to encourage you now, listen, what if you're going through a drawer one day and you come across an old piece of a puzzle? What good is that piece of a puzzle by itself? Not much. No, there's a place that it belongs. It belongs in that bigger picture. And I'm telling you, the body of Christ, there's a place where we belong. Apart, just by ourselves, we're not able to fulfill all of our purpose and what God has for us. And I tell you, God knows what He's doing. He knows what the end result, what the finished product's going to be. Verse 18, He says, in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. God places people in the body. He arranges it so that it can be effective. You know, we need to realize that if God placed people in the body, then we need to be thankful for people in the body. We need to be thankful for the different gifts, the diversity, for each one that God places in the body and realize their importance. Verse 19 and 20, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Again, it takes all different kinds, young and old. By the way, we really believe that. I'm going to talk more about this next week, but young and old. I don't believe in this garbage where you got the young church and the old church. There's one church, and it's alive, the devil. The generation gap was something that was created by the devil to divide people and keep the spiritual baton from being passed from one generation to another. It's young and old. In this body, there's diversity. There's young and old. Listen, there's to be intellectual and not so intellectual. There's blue collar, white collar, and redneck. We need them all. We need them all. Listen, every different ethnic background, all of them belong in the body. And we need each part. Each one has an ability to add to the whole. We need to remember that. That's what makes the church, the body, effective in the earth today. You know, there may be some that we might think are of no value, good for nothing. But you don't know what God sees in them. You don't know how God will use them. But He placed them in the body for a reason. Maybe all they do is invite people to church. That's an awesome thing. I've told this story before. One time I pastored a church where there was a family that came to the church. I'd been there for almost 5 years, and a family came to the church, and they caused quite a stir. There were other people in the church that wanted them put out of the church because they were troublemakers. But in the first 6 months that family had come to that church, they brought more people to church than the rest of that whole entire congregation had done in 5 years. So whether or not they were liked and loved by everybody, I don't know. But I know one thing, God used them. And you see, you might think, oh, well, I ain't got any use for that person. It's not important what you think. It's what God thinks. And I'm telling you, God can use them. That is, I said it's not important what you think. It really is. Because we need to get our thinking straight that God brings people in and adds to the body and makes it stronger. And every person is important. We need you. Now, some of you might be sitting alone this morning, but if you're next to somebody, you tell them, say, they need me. Go ahead. Now, next, I want you to say, the church needs me. That's right. And here's the last one, say, the pastor needs me. Now, you know what? I know that you're just saying it because I said for you to, but listen, the church really does need you. The pastor really does need you. We cannot do all that we need to do without you. Every part is important in the body. Verse 22 through 26. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Every part is important. We got to get rid of that mentality that if someone's not up in front, doing up in front ministry, that they're not really important. Listen, we all could think of great men and women of God in our generation and throughout history that had an impact on the world. People like Billy Graham. Is Billy Graham more important in eternity than the one who led him to the Lord? And how about the one who led that person to the Lord? You see, we just don't realize, but sometimes those who are anonymous, not the famous, but the anonymous, will have a greater impact in eternity. Because the one that led Billy Graham to the Lord, listen, he or her is in part responsible for all of those that Billy Graham won. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you're up in front and seen all the time or if you're working behind the scenes. Every one of us is important in the body of Christ, and we shouldn't judge. We shouldn't compare. The Bible tells us not to compare. But we get into these games of playing comparison, and I'm telling you, we just need to realize that we're all one body, all part of the same thing, all working towards the same goal. Don't let pride cause you to think that you don't need other people or that you can be effective by yourself. I tell you, it's all about the body. Years ago, when they first came out with an IQ test, when they first developed the test, they wanted to give the test to a lot of different groups of people to find out how they scored on tests as a group. And so they administered the test to men and women. I know some of you'd like to have the results. I don't have them, but anyway, young and old, rich and poor, and a lot of different ethnic groups. Eventually, the test was given to a group of Indians called the Hopi Indians, and when the Hopi received the test, they immediately began to all work on it together and to share their answers and talk about it as they were taking the test. Well, of course, those giving the test saw what was happening and stepped in and said, no, you can't do that. You can't help each other. Each one of you has to take the test on your own. Well, the Hopi Indians got really mad and they flat refused. They said, we won't take the test. They said, what difference does it make if I am smarter than my brother or if my brother is smarter than me? The only thing that's important is what we can do together. We need to take a lesson here, church, because in the body of Christ, we have way too much pride and way too much comparison and way too much of this, oh, I can do that, or, you know, look at them. Listen, the only thing that's really important is what we can do together. The only thing that's really important is what God wants us to do. Amen. And we do that together. It is the strength that all of us bring together. Got to get rid of the pride, get rid of the individualism, the independence that keeps us from functioning as a body. You know, in America, independence, individualism, and pride are all preached as great qualities. And maybe in some regards, as a nation and a country, maybe those things have their place. But listen to me. In the body of Christ, they do damage and harm. Because it's not about my independence, but rather it's about the strength that we draw from one another. It's not about our individualism, but it's who we are together as the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, there's never a place for pride. We're to serve one another in love. We're to walk in humility. Verse 27, he said, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you, every born-again believer, needs to find their place in the body. I want you to flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin with verses 11 and 12 there. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to do all the work of the ministry. Somebody say, no, that's not right. Come on, help me out here. No, verse 12 says, to prepare God's people for works of service so that what? So that the body may be built up. What is the fivefold ministry for? To prepare God's people for works of service. And what are those works of service for? So that the body may be built up. Jesus is building His church. And how does He do it? He's using His people. And His people are equipped, prepared for works of service by the fivefold ministry. So I want you to understand this morning that every one of you have a work of service to fulfill. And unless God has retired you, you need to be busy. By the way, when He retires you, you go home. So unless you are gone home, and everybody in here is still breathing, right? Then you still have a work of service to do for the Lord, to be involved in the body of Christ. And you need to get prepared. You need to be equipped. And you need to get about what God wants you to do. He's building His body through His people. I know that in this church, there are many, many of you that put in hours upon hours every week, serving the Lord, working for the Lord, participating and helping. And I just want to say I appreciate all of you ushers, greeters, nursery workers, children's workers, youth workers, guest services people, worship team, sound people, on and on. All of you are vital and important. And many of you also, not just things here at the church, but out in the community, you're being used of God and serving the Lord and working for God. And all of those things are important, whether other people see it or not. And I just want to say thank you for all that you do. It is called a work of service. And you know, in our country today, work is definitely a four-letter word. And most people have the attitude, I'm not looking to do more work. It's how can I get out of work? So when you say work, you know, you're using work, the word work in church. That's a dirty word. We don't want to hear that. But I want to tell you, though, work is not all bad. In fact, Work can bring you a satisfaction and a fulfillment when you do a good job. But especially where there are eternal things at stake and that work has an eternal significance, there's a joy, a satisfaction, a fulfillment in your life. And for a lot of people, there's, you know, we talk about how the Lord will fill the void in your life. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians that still have an emptiness because they're not really walking in all God has for them to do. And I'm telling you, when you work for the Lord, it fills that void, that need to be significant, that need to matter. And you, when you're making a difference in eternity, oh, what a joy that brings to your heart. So it's a work of service. It's serving God's people. Whatever we do, it has to be serving. It has to be done with the attitude of a servant. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and then he told them to go and to do likewise. See, we got to have that servant's heart. I've met a few people over the years who actually said out of their mouth, well, I won't do that. They actually declared that some job or some particular activity was beneath them, and they just said, I won't do that. And I'm just telling you, most of the time, those people end up doing nothing. Because if you don't have a servant's heart, if you're not willing to serve, God won't use you. He doesn't need any hot shots. He doesn't need any hot dogs. I'm telling you, God wants servants, people that are willing to serve. It's works of service. And whatever we do, even if we're up front, our attitude has to be one of service, that we want to be a servant to people, to bless and to help people. It's not about us, but it's about the body of Christ. It's so that the body may be built up. That's the goal. If we have a different agenda than that, it just causes frustration. Verse 16 of that same chapter, Ephesians 4:16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And we talked about this verse last week, but it's such a powerful verse. There's so much here. It says that we're joined and held together by every supporting ligament. We all need relationships in the body of Christ. In fact, most of the time, people that get born again and attend church don't stick unless they develop some relationships with other Christians. That's the way it was designed. We're to be joined and held together by every supporting ligament. So it's vital that you develop relationships with other people. It's one of the things that's so great about the growth groups is it gives you an opportunity to get closer to some people, to pray for one another, to help one another, to draw strength from one another, to encourage one another. And so I'm encouraging you this morning to join a growth group, get involved that way, and let God use you to be a blessing to somebody else. But it says that each part does its work. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every one of us has a function to fulfill. Every one of us has ways that we can give of ourselves, that we can serve the body of Christ. And you know what? It's so important that you find what you can do for God. I'm going to tell you right now that there's a need. And now see, we don't do this very often because we don't believe in guilting people. If you're guilted into something, you won't stick, you won't last, and you won't bear fruit, not fruit that lasts. We don't believe in just saying, hey, we got to have somebody who's willing to do this. Because then it just sounds like, well, just anybody. Well, they'll take anybody. We'll just take any warm breathing body. Maybe even, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter if you're even breathing. We'll take you. No, it's not like that. So I just want you to understand that before I say this. We need more children's workers. It takes a lot of children's workers to do a quality children's ministry. And you know what happens sometimes is we get children's workers that are doing too much. They're serving two or three times a week and they get burnt out. Not because serving God is so hard, but because they're trying to take up the slack for somebody else. We need more children's workers. And again, I'm not begging. I'm not guilting you. I'm just telling you. And if that's something that God has dealt with you about, an area that you know that you could be a blessing and a benefit to the body of Christ, man, it's time for you to step up and fulfill what God has put in your life and let God use you that way. And you need to talk to Wesley. Wesley, our children's pastor, he does a great job, but I'm telling you, he needs your help. You know, it's really interesting to me how that in the body of Christ, we see things that need to be done. We see areas of weakness and we say, oh, we need to fix that. Or we say, well, we need to be more effective in that area. And you know, I as a pastor, I'm just going to be real candid with you this morning. I don't have any problem with seeing what needs to be fixed. I don't have any problem with seeing things that areas where we need to be more effective. And I don't have a shortage of ideas. Man, I go to staff meetings sometimes with our staff and I say, man, we need to do this and we need to do that and I've got this idea and how about this idea? Isn't this great? Let's get all this done. And they're like, Pastor, we're doing all we can do. There's only three of us here, you know. Who's going to do all this stuff? And I'm like, I don't know, but we need to do all this. And you know, it's interesting though, I have people bring me ideas all the time, and I don't want to give you the wrong impression. It's not that I don't appreciate your ideas or that we can't benefit from your ideas, but I'm telling you what we need more than more ideas is we need people that'll help us get the job done and do the ideas. By the way, if God gives you an idea, well, you better be ready to do it. Pastor, I had a good idea. It'd be a good idea for you to do this. I'm going to put it right back on you, all right? I'm telling you, what we need is people being willing to step in and say, you know what, God wants to use me. I want to help. I want to serve. Maybe even come and say to the staff, to the pastor, the youth pastor, the children's pastor, say, how can I serve? How can I help? And just offer yourself. Because I'm telling you, to get the job done, it takes a lot of people. We need to pray, the Lord send laborers into the field. Amen. Lord send laborers into the children's ministry. Amen. The right people. Not just anybody, but the right people. But every one of us, there's an area where we can serve, where we can be involved in ministry, where we can be effective for the Lord. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're helping with the children's ministry or serving as an usher, a greeter, caring for the sick, doing outreach, intercessory prayer, helping with women's ministry, helping in the office. I'm telling you, there's 1,000 different areas and ways that you can be used because of the diversity and the way God uses people. And as I said before, I realize not all that even happens here at the church. Your gift may just be going out to the ballpark or out into the marketplace and talking to people about the Lord and inviting them to church and seeing people get saved. All of those things are so important. Sometimes people wonder why things don't get done, listen to me, or why there's weakness in certain areas of the church, or why the church doesn't do this, and why it's not more effective. I'm telling you, it's because the workers aren't there. This is the story of four people, everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job and everybody thought that somebody would do it, but nobody did. It ended up that the job wasn't done and everybody blamed somebody when actually nobody did anything. If God lays a need on your heart, He didn't put it on your heart so you could gripe and complain and tell somebody, why don't they do this, why don't they do that? He put it on your heart. He showed it to you so you could do something about it. I hope that came across in the right spirit. I meant that in a very kind and loving way. But all too often, all of us, we're prone to that, where we can be critics instead of servants. If God shows you a need, and I'm not just talking about church, I'm talking about in your personal life. God shows you a need. Maybe He's showing you a need because you can meet that need. Each one of us has something to offer. I'm excited about the church as I believe that Ephesians 4:16 offers a spiritual truth that is a promise to us. when it says that the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And as we do our part, as we do our work, we're going to see the body grow. Amen. Each one of us has gifts that we need to use. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I want to stop right there. There's a really big word that I just kind of read over. Faithfully. A lot of times people want to do something for God for a minute. They talk big, they get started, and they fizzle out. You got to be faithful. You know, the key to faithfulness is being committed. It's making a decision that you're willing to sacrifice other things to be faithful. Faithfully. Administering God's grace in its various forms. See, God's grace, the gifts that God gives, it comes in all kinds of forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. See, whatever gift he's given us, we need to use it to his glory and honor. The King James there says the manifold grace of God. See, grace has a lot of different faces because he uses each and every one of us in different ways. He gifts every one of us in different ways. You know, there's some people that you look at and you say, oh, wow, they're so gifted. They got voted most talented at school. Wow, it must be neat to be them. But you see, the damage in that is that you yourself are just as gifted in a different way. Every one of us is gifted. And we might say, well, their gift is bigger, more impressive. But your gift is just as important in the body of Christ. It takes each and every one. And here's what's important, though. Don't withhold your gift from the body of Christ. They all need you. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of the gifts that God has given us. We got to use them for His honor and glory. And when you use your gifts, when you do what God has given you to do, no matter how small it may be, then God gives you more. You see, when we're faithful in little, God trusts us with much. And I really believe this, that finding our place in the body is a process. There's some here this morning that you say, well, I've never really gotten involved in church and never done anything. You need to do that. You need to find your place in the body. And by the way, I just want to say, if you come to me after the service and you say, what can I do? I'll probably just go, In fact, a lot of times if you talk to me after a service, that's kind of what you get from me. My mind has been on my message and I'm just not really home, all right? But anyway, but if you call and talk to myself or any of our staff during the week, we want to help you find where you can be effective in the body of Christ. And we would love to talk with you about that and help you to do that. But all of us need to be challenged this morning. Because even if you've been working and serving the Lord, you know, God is a God of increase and He always wants us to grow. And if you're faithful in little, He adds too. Sometimes that means that God's going to move you into a new area. Sometimes it just means that He's going to add to what you're already doing. And sometimes it means that in the area you're working right now, He's going to increase you. But all of us need to have a heart and a desire to be effective for the Lord and just be used of Him. And so I challenge you this morning, find your place in the body as God arranged you in the body, as He sees fit. Amen. Find your place and let God use you in a greater and greater measure. And here's the end result. The body of Christ is built up. Amen. I want you to stand with me as we pray this morning. Our prayer partners are going to come. But I just encourage you as we pray, you commit yourself to do what God wants you to do. Not what the pastor said or not what the church said. Just what God wants. What does God want you to do? I tell you, He's arranged this body. And when we just do what God wants, how effective and how powerful the body of Christ is. Father, I thank You for Your people this morning. I thank You for each and every one. Oh, Father, I know, Lord, according to Your word, that every single one is invaluable. Every single one is so important. And some of them this morning, Lord, may not see their value, their importance. But I know you do, Lord. And I pray, Father, that each one will find their place to serve, to be involved, to be a special part. And Lord, I pray this morning that we truly as a body will be an example to this world of what Jesus is like. Oh, Father, that we'll have that love of God that pervades everything we do, every service, every work of ministry, everything we do, Lord, that the love of God be upon it. Oh, Father, help us to lay aside our private agendas and personal ambition, Lord, and to work for your kingdom and your glory. Father, may you be honored in it all, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss this service in just a moment. And as we do, I want to encourage you to come for prayer if you have any kind of a need. You may have come to this service with a need in your physical body, or maybe there's a loved one that you'd like to pray for. Maybe your family's going through a difficult time. Whatever it is, we're here to pray with you. If you're not where you should be in your walk with God, I encourage you to come for prayer. And maybe God is just dealing with you about this message today, and you know you need to make a real commitment to the Lord. I just encourage you to come for prayer as well. But as we dismiss, don't be in a hurry. Listen, if God's dealing with you about something, or if there's a need that's heavy on your heart, you come for prayer. We want to minister to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I just want to say this morning, you are the body of Christ. Church, that's an exciting thing. You are the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. We've got a job to do. Lord bless you. You're dismissed. You're dismissed. You're dismissed. You're dismissed. You're dismissed.